The following program comes to you as part of the Africa Health Network, a service of the Voice of America to our audience throughout the African continent.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Lynn Ormudu, and welcome to Health Chat. The World Health Organization says the number of Ebola deaths in West African countries is increasing. The outbreak that started in Guinea in February spread to Liberia and Sierra Leone. Nigeria is now affected. 887 people have died in four countries, and experts say it could be months before it's over. This is the first time West Africa has seen Ebola, and it is turning out to be the worst outbreak of the disease ever, in part because people who are sick or have been exposed aren't coming forward for testing and treatment. Voice of America's West Africa correspondent Anne Luke has this report.
Good afternoon, my people.
Good afternoon.
We have come in your community this afternoon to tell you about the danger of Ebola.
More of this is what public health experts say may turn the tide against Ebola. Health worker Bunch Wia met with a community in Margibi County, Liberia. Two people have died of the disease here.
Ebola has no cure. Ebola has no cure. But what you can do is to prevent yourself. What you can do is to prevent yourself from the deadly disease. Please stop eating bush meat. Please start touching your friend. Please start shaking hands. These are ways people can catch the Ebola disease.
People have plenty of questions.
So can I ask you? Yes, I want to know, they say Ebola don't have cure, but what happened when it...
This man says if there's no cure, then what can doctors do for people at the hospital? What's the point of going there? It's a common area of confusion. Health workers continue to remind people that some patients are fighting off the disease with medical care. They emphasize that for containment to work, sick people must be isolated so they don't infect others, and that every person who had contact with an Ebola patient's bodily fluids must be monitored in case any of those people get sick. That's how you stop the chain of infection. But that isn't happening everywhere in Guinea, Liberia, and Sierra Leone, the countries hit hardest by the Ebola outbreak. The virus spread quickly across those countries' borders, starting earlier this year. People did not know what the disease was. Some infected people hid from authorities or ran away. Families continued to handle and bury the bodies of Ebola victims. And so the disease continued to spread. Stephane Doyen, the West Africa chief for Doctors Without Borders, says that communities continue to resist medical assistance and more education is needed. Doyen says in Liberia, Sierra Leone, and certain parts of Guinea, where we have trouble accessing certain villages, we know there are probably cases there, that people are dying and that the disease is spreading, but we can do nothing. He says we either don't know about the cases or the population won't let us in because they don't understand we are there to help. Liberia and Sierra Leone have deployed security forces to enforce containment measures and protect health workers amid growing hostility. It's illegal to knowingly harbor someone who has Ebola. Liberia is considering quarantining affected zones. Sierra Leone already has. But can the outbreak be stopped through such dramatic measures? Dr. Uni Krishnan, the head of disaster response and prevention for Plan International.
These measures will have limitations. So this is where informing people, educating people, and encouraging them to come forward when they see symptoms is key. That's what will be finally be yielding results.
He says more international funds are needed for nearly every aspect of this response effort, especially education. Meanwhile, health workers continue going door to door. They're handing out leaflets and tying up signs with hand-drawn pictures of the various symptoms, and putting catchy songs on the radio, scrambling to get to people before Ebola does. Look at Guinea, look at Sierra Leone, from the Boloy, and Tokala, y'all won't tell me y'all can't believe.
And that was Anne-Luc reporting. Now, due to the Ebola scare in Liberia, many health centers are closing as medical personnel are refusing to come into work as they are afraid of being infected with highly contagious disease. Liberian Information Minister Lois Brown told VOA that officials were unprepared for the negative response they are getting from the communities. And meanwhile, Liberian President Ellen Johnson Sirleaf has ordered cremation of Ebola related bodies. Joining us for more on the latest in Liberia and on Ebola in general, we are joined via phone by VOA's English to Africa managing editor James Batty. James, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much, Lenore, and for inviting me on your program and for the good work you are doing in highlighting health related issues in Africa.
Thank you for these kind words. And James Batty is also the host of Daybreak Africa. Now, James, tell us about the very latest in Liberia. Can you give us an update? So President Johnson Sirleaf has ordered cremation of Ebola-related bodies. How is this being received? Being African myself, I know that cremation is not a common practice in some part of Africa. How is this being received in Liberia?
Well, yeah, you're right, and I think your report by Anne-Luc was also in detail. But the problem is that given the nature of our societies where we were born, people are sociable, people relate to each other in their various communities. What touches the person next door touches you. So these measures that the governments of Guinea, Liberia, and Sierra Leone have put in place are good. It's just that, you know, it's going to be very difficult for people to get away from their usual way of life, which is being concerned about your neighbor. So that's why you see when somebody died, even though the government has said people should not touch the dead bodies, people still want to go about burying their dead because, as you mentioned, cremation is not a part of the culture in say, my country like Liberia. But I'm... as I read through the stories coming from Liberia and other parts of West Africa, I find that these countries are overwhelmed by this outbreak.
Now, when you look at what is going on, this outbreak started earlier this year. Now, it seems like instead of getting better, it's getting worse. And reports have blamed traditional burial practices. You briefly touched on it. Also, the fact that you know, people are scared of it. They do not understand really, up until now, despite efforts to spread the word and everything, they do not understand what is Ebola. What is Ebola really doing there to begin with, you know? So can you tell us about in Liberia, when it was first received, what was people's reaction that you think was also contributing to spreading the disease further?
That's why I think this public awareness program that the government has started to sensitize the communities about what really Ebola is very important, going door to door, going community to community, trying to explain to the people what Ebola is. You know, our societies, whenever something unexplained happens, people tend to blame witchcraft, you know, or somebody, mm-hmm. that's witchcraft, that's the work of witchcraft, or this person did something, maybe that's why the witch doctors are trying to get rid of that person. So the sensitization program is very important. The president of Liberia also, today, Tuesday, called on Liberians to observe 3 days of national fast and prayer beginning tomorrow, Wednesday. According to the executive mansion, the president said that the purpose is to acknowledge the gratitude of Liberians to God for their own existence and for survival, and to ask God for forgiveness and to heal the nation as it continues to fight the Ebola virus. According to the president, that God is the ultimate solution to Ebola and the source of the deliverance for the Liberian people. So I guess that summarizes the whole thing. People are confused, just like you and I are probably confused. What is happening? How can Ebola be cured? And I think finally the president has asked the people to turn to God to pray.
Mm-hmm. Very, very interesting move there. To what extent do you think that this call to prayers and fasting will make an impact? Not that it will stop the spreading or, you know, be a solution, but what type of impact does something like this have in a situation like this?
You know, I think Liberians are God-fearing people. They are churchgoers, whether you're Muslim or you're Christian. Liberians are God-fearing people. So I believe that, you know, turning to God, praying for, you know, healing, it's going to have an impact on what is happening in the country. Of course, people still turn to their traditional, people in the rural areas might be turning now to their traditional witch doctors mm-hmm. to see if they can find a cure. I was reading a story in the local media in Liberia about somebody going around midnight or late at night trying to put some chemicals in drinking wells where they get drinking waters. When I asked the Minister of Information, is the government aware of this? And he indicated, yes, the government was aware and that the police were investigating this as a criminal matter. Perhaps, according to some accounts, that this person might be taking upon themselves to see that they can help heal Ebola by doing this.
Huh. Interesting. That's something new that I've heard with regards to all the developments that have emerged around this outbreak. So now, President Ellen Johnson Sirleaf was supposed to attend the ongoing U.S.-African Presidential Summit, which is taking place now in Washington, D.C., and she canceled her trip to stay home and care and really take a look at this outbreak and really do her best to help the country and the situation. What do you make of this?
You know, I was talking to someone who said, what was the purpose of the president not coming and the president of Guinea and the president of Sierra Leone? Was it political or was it just because of the... And I said, call it political or not. I think that's a way of showing the Liberian people that she is the commander-in-chief and that whenever something like this happened, something of this nature, like Ebola, and this widespread of Ebola virus in the region and in her country, I guess the best thing to do is to stay there, stay with the people, create the image that she, as the commander-in-chief, is staying there with them to fight through it, to fight through this virus, and that she did not leave to come. She's been criticized before because of her frequent trips to the United States. I guess maybe her critics now may give her credit for not leaving the country mm-hmm. To come to the United States, because many African countries see this U.S.-Africa summit as very important, something that has not happened before, and they all would have loved to be here. Unfortunately for Sierra Leone, Guinea, and Liberia, the Ebola crisis has prevented their leaders from coming. But I think the president staying in Liberia perhaps will be seen as her doing her job and being more concerned about the fate of her citizens.
And let me just say that the president of Guinea actually is attending the summit, but yes, the president of Sierra Leone has canceled his attendance along with President Johnson Sirleaf. So, James, we are going to take a short break, and when we come back, we will continue this discussion for an update on Ebola. So don't go away. We'll be right back. Stick around for more Health Chat on Ebola.
What's happening, Africa? This is Jackson Bunganyi in Washington, D.C.
And I'm Nadia Sami in Johannesburg, South Africa. Thank you for joining us on Upfront each Wednesday, 17:30 UTC, for a lively discussion on issues that are topical, challenging, and always engaging.
The show tries to capture that fundamentally aspirational nature of today's African youth. As you've noticed, right here on the show, we talk about everything. Nothing is off the table.
I am a social networker, often online. For me, it's all about making connections, meeting people.
Ooh, without my family, I don't think I would have been here today because they gave me a lot of support morally.
Dante, AU, African Union, can these people really solve this nonsense of rigging election, brutality during what election violence, all this whatever?
Employment rates are climbing, so definitely there's less jobs in the market now.
Remember to connect with us on Facebook and on Twitter at Upfront Africa.
Welcome back to Health Chat. If you're just joining us, we are discussing Ebola and getting an update on the latest on the Ebola outbreak in West Africa. Now, an NGO says containing the West Africa Ebola epidemic will require overcoming fear and stigma surrounding the disease. ActionAid says the high death rate has caused a lack of faith in the medical system. VOA's Jody Kapwa reports on the group's efforts to help contain the outbreak in Sierra Leone.
ActionAid country director Mohamed Sila says the major challenge facing Sierra Leone, Guinea, and Liberia is a poor health infrastructure. He says the countries are simply not well equipped to handle the crisis because of a lack of investment in health. Sila says those countries need to act to change that.
First, it has to do with necessary training for the staff, equipping the staff with the basic equipment that they need to actually carry out their work. Issues as simple as an ambulance is a challenge for major hospitals. If you have a suspected case, there are very limited ambulances around to collect the sick people and easily isolate them.
He says many community health centers lack access to electricity. That means no refrigeration to safely store vaccines or drugs that are susceptible to heat. Another major problem is fear, and fear of Ebola is widespread among the population. The ActionAid country director says many people actually deny the existence of the disease and attribute the sickness and death to some other cause. Also, the message that was sent out after the Ebola outbreak was confirmed was that it had no cure. When families did bring their sick relatives to the hospital, patients were immediately placed in quarantine and the family lost contact with them.
That lack of communication, that lack of clarity brought about the mistrust. People saw the hospitals now as a death zone. What happened in the isolation centers was not very, very clear to the general public.
There have been several incidents in Sierra Leone where families removed infected people from hospitals. Those incidents, Sila says, not only indicate the lack of information families had about the disease, but the lack of security at the health facilities. But what message can be sent when a disease is so often fatal? Sila says it has to do with educating the communities. ActionAid staff and others are going door to door in Sierra Leone doing just that, explaining prevention methods, signs and symptoms, and the importance of taking people to the hospital.
Because we have a long-term presence in the communities, they trust us. They trust the information that we give them.
Local and traditional leaders play a big role in those education efforts. Sila also says there's a lack of testing centers. For example, there are just two in eastern Sierra Leone. One is run by the Ministry of Health and the other by Doctors Without Borders. Some people may have to travel hundreds of kilometers to reach them and then wait 2 or 3 days for the results. It was during that waiting period that families removed patients from health facilities. One thing being done to raise hope among the population is to talk about the people who became infected and survived. ActionAid, the Ministry of Health, and many volunteers are sending the message that medical care gives people a chance of overcoming the disease. And they point to the nearly 130 infected people who have so far. And those survivors are now helping to educate the population through media campaigns.
We are gaining confidence of the people, and what you can even see from the government figures is that the number of people who are reporting to the health center is actually increasing.
SELA is calling for greater international support for Sierra Leone to increase the number of Ebola rapid testing centers. He says this would go a long way toward controlling the outbreak. Joe DiCapua, VOA News, Washington.
James Butty is on the phone with us. James Butty is VOA's English to Africa managing editor and also the host of Daybreak Africa. Now, James, you are from Liberia. So let's talk a little bit on a personal note here. When you heard about this outbreak in your country, you have your family there, you still have family there. So tell us how this has affected you, whether it's directly or indirectly.
Well, it has affected me directly or indirectly. Directly because I have family members there. Indirectly because, as you said, I'm from Liberia, and I'm constantly in touch with people in Liberia, following what is happening, whether it's on the political, economic side of the country. I follow what happens in the country. I got a text from my nephew asking us, my wife and I, my family, to say, hoping that we are keeping them in our prayers. Of course, we replied to the text to say, we are keeping you all in Liberia in our prayers. I was also concerned, interested, and wanted to know, for example, given the fact that the government has shut down schools, that some government employees have been given some kind of a temporary leave, I was interested and wanted to know from people in Liberia, how do people go about their day-to-day business activities, trying to go to markets, trying to get food. Someone called me on Sunday, this past Sunday, to say, and I asked that question, how are you all surviving? Mm-hmm. I mean, do you go to markets? You know, our people go to public markets. And she said, yes, they go to markets, just that they try now. Some people are wearing gloves. They try not to, you know, the usual thing when you see somebody in the street, you greet them, you say, hello, good morning, how are you doing? People are trying to be a little skeptical in continuing that because of this Ebola fear.
That's something there. Now, James, you talked about the fact that, you know, this is obviously affecting you, as you explained earlier. Let's talk about the economic impact. You said people are still going to the market. This is one aspect of the economic of the country where people have to, you know, you have vendors in the market that are selling their goods. How is this outbreak affecting them?
I think it's initially this might have affected how people bought their food, you know, food to eat. But I think with the public awareness, explaining to the people about the ways that Ebola can be spread from one person to another, perhaps that's going to help. But again, you know, if people have to go to the market to buy food where food is bought and exchanged from hand to hand, that if I were in Monrovia or any part of Liberia or West Africa, that would be very frightening. You know, in Liberia, in other parts of Africa, people sell fruits. Mm-hmm. People sell different things, vegetables from the different regions of the country, bring them to the market. That is frightening because, again, somebody has touched that fruit, and now they have to give it to you. They have to sell it to you. You know, that's how these diseases are passed on from one. These communicable diseases are passed on from one person to another. You know, you mentioned earlier, Lenore, about the president of Liberia not being here. The vice president of Liberia, Joseph Boakai, is heading the Liberian delegation, and so I will be talking with the vice president of Liberia on this Thursday, and we will be talking more about what Liberia is doing and what kind of help Liberia is looking for.
And speaking of the kind of help that Liberians are looking for, what do you think, how do the people on the ground feel about the way the government has responded to this crisis? I know that some people have complained about the collection of dead bodies. Do you think that the government is doing enough, or at least what are the people saying?
Well, there have been some people have protested. There have been some protests in some communities around Monrovia to the point that people feel that the government or the health officials were not doing enough to collect the Ebola-related dead bodies around the parts of the capital. And so to the point that, and then also people were concerned that people were bringing Ebola-related dead bodies, people who died in other communities, and bringing them to their community to be buried there. So these citizens, according to some reports coming out of Liberia, that they have set up their own roadblocks in their community so that no one will bring an Ebola-related dead body into their community to be buried. I brought that question up with the Minister of Information on my program, and he said, yes, that was an issue that the government was dealing with. In fact, that's why the president suggested the cremation, because so as to help expedite the burial or the removal of these Ebola-related dead bodies from the communities.
Okay. Now, James, we are going to go to a story on what is happening in Nigeria. Don't go away. Recently, a first Ebola case was reported in Nigeria when a traveler went there and died in the country after being screened and detected to have Ebola, as the country announces the test results of more potential Ebola patients and a corpse suspected to be infected with the disease. Officials warn that rumors and remedies will further the spread of the disease. The government also says it is illegal for traditional healers, who are often more trusted than modern doctors, to say they have a cure. Heather Murdoch's files from Abuja.
The Nigerian government says it is increasing health screenings at airports and international land borders after tests confirmed over the weekend that a Nigerian doctor has Ebola. The Lagos doctor cared for Patrick Sawyer, a Liberian-American finance consultant, who died of Ebola on July 25th, a few days after traveling from Liberia to Nigeria through Ghana and Togo. The doctor, whose name was not released, is currently being treated in isolation. Minister of Health Onibuchi Chukwu says the government is reassessing calls to close some Nigerian borders on a daily basis.
Regarding the issue of whether we should close our border, we still maintain that for now we are not doing that for a number of reasons, but if it becomes necessary, we'll do that.
Ebola has killed more than 800 people this year alone, as it has spread to Guinea, Liberia, Sierra Leone, and now Nigeria. So far, the outbreak in Nigeria appears to be relatively contained, with one death and symptoms now showing in 8 currently isolated health workers who had direct contact with Sawyer. Humans catch Ebola either through handling or eating wild animals, or through contact with the blood or bodily fluids of an infected person. Bodies remain infectious after a person dies. Chukwu says officials are testing whether a body discovered in a morgue last week is carrying the Ebola virus. Authorities suspected the body was flown back to Nigeria after the person died of Ebola in a nearby country. The minister says Nigeria has moved to stop the import of bodies for burial from countries that have Ebola.
They should not bring back corpses from the 3 countries where we have the greatest number of cases. They should not bring back dead bodies. It's better that dead bodies are buried where they've had issues, except where it is clear from the death certificate that it is not Ebola.
Ebola is one of the world's deadliest diseases, with an up to 90% death rate. The death rate in the current West African outbreak is about 60%, a fact doctors attribute to early treatment. Heather Murdoch for VOA News, Abuja.
And James, quickly before we wrap up, let me just get your personal fear when you look at this, the big picture of the outbreak. Do you have a personal fear or perhaps a concern or an advice? You are from Liberia, and I know we have listeners in Liberia.
You know, my own concern is that the Liberia, Guinea, Sierra Leone, and even Nigeria should continue to ask for international assistance, for example, sanitation materials, gloves, protective clothing. Those are things that the people need the most. I was just reading a story out of Liberia about the citizens there complaining now that people, marketeers, are using this Ebola crisis to inflate the prices of things like soap and chlorine, wow, or all those things that people need to clean their hands and do that. So, yeah, I know that's my concern, that other people are going to use this to profit.
Okay, James Batty, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Lino, for the work you're doing.
We appreciate it. And that was James Batty, Managing Editor of VOA's English to Africa and the host of Daybreak Africa here on The Voice of America. Thank you for joining us and listening to our program. Let's keep the conversation going on facebook.com/VOA Health Chat. I'm your host, Lino Mudu, in Washington, with producer Jackson Vunganyi. Until next time, take care, be well, and strive to make every day a healthy day.